I was just blessed this morning, those songs. And I had to think of the children of Israel when they were at the Red Sea with their taskmasters coming up behind them. They didn't feel like singing. They didn't see a way out. And what do? They murmur, they complain. And God wants us. That I love this, that story. You take it and you pick that story up anywhere, and it just he wants to get the Egypt out of us. He wants us to come to believing and trusting. You know, the cloud led him, and or the fire, I forget. The fire, yes. And so he took them to the campsites where there was no water. He took them to the campsites where there was bitter water, all those, to see their response. And in the valley you're in the tests you're in, what is your response? What is my response? Am I believing God is the God of the mountain, you know, all the time? You know, not just when I'm on the mountain, but in my valley, is he God? So I don't know, man. I don't want to take away anything from. I know I could go home and be very encouraged and blessed, and I do not want to take away from that at all. But just talking about grace a little bit, maybe. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the moving of your Spirit. Lord, for stirring hearts and minds. Lord Jesus. We know that body life, Lord. We know that thoughts are revealed, and even the unbeliever coming in can see and know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I forget how that scripture goes, but Lord, thank you for the ministry here this morning, Lord, from the least to the greatest, Lord. We know that we've been touched. We know there is a God, and there is a Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Lord, so we just thank you for the battle that was won this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way in this place, Lord. Help me to forget what I should forget and minister what I should minister, Father, that we might be edified and build up in the most holy faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So when I look at the word grace, the traditional interpretation for that word for years has been God's unmerited favor. And if I look at the Old Testament, that really fits through pretty much all the scriptures in the Old Testament. Favor. In the New Testament, it doesn't as much. And this is some of my own findings, but some of it's not all my own. It is more the divine influence upon the heart. Grace in the New Covenant is divine influence upon the heart. Or, in other words, God's ability working in man. Isn't that what we want and we see? And we've experienced it. We've experienced it, and there's more. I mean, there's grace to continue. You know, one of my favorite verses is in Peter, where it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus." You know, so we have heard, we've heard of the good news, and we've experienced the forgiveness, the love, and the bitterness rolling away, and the anger rolling away. And so we've experienced that grace and power and changing. And so it's through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So what brought me to this topic is I was talking with a person that has been struggling with a besetting sin. And I've always been big on faith, and I still am. And you know, because the Bible says faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And as I was listening, I was thinking of what he was saying, that if his faith is weak, his faith is low. So I'm like listening here's what I came away with later. This script, it was bothering me. If my faith is, I don't think it's a matter of 60%, 70%, or 90%, or 100%. because it's as a grain of mustard seed. So what I was feeling is like it's what I believe. It's not how much I believe. Does that make sense? It's what I'm believing. Then we want to look at some verses about grace that kind of came to me in response to us maybe being in defeat. If you're walking in defeat, if you're walking in a besetting sin or something you can't get victory over, let's look at some scriptures that might shed some light. Yes, it is faith, but there's some scripture about grace also. I know in Romans 6, verse 4, now I'm going to be jumping around. If you have a pen and paper, and you want to just write the references down, that's fine, because I don't know how fast I'll go. But in Romans 6, verse 14, this verse says that sin shall not have dominion over you, because for ye are not under law, but under grace. So it very much implies, if you do the deduction, that grace here is there again, an ability. It's God's influence. It is something greater. If we're walking in grace, then sin will not have dominion over us. So how do we have grace? How do we find grace? How do we? Well, we know in Romans 4, verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. So it's by faith. Why? Because so there's no boasting. We know that when it's faith-based, you can't boast on it because it's God working. Okay? And then it says then grace works too. Because faith what is faith? Faith is believing God's word. So that's, and then grace comes in, verse Romans 5, just the next page over probably, Romans 5, 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And this stand is standing, you know. I mean, it's standing with the word, resisting probably, maybe, you know, who knows, but standing with your loins girt about with truth, you know. It's not, maybe not, you know. Maybe your experience is not lining up with what God says. What do? Do you believe your experience or do you believe the word of God? So that's when you stand. You claim the scripture. You claim what the Spirit is ministering to you through the scripture. Corinthians 15 talks about 15:56. The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. So here it gives a little bit of a, well, it tells you that here again, under the law, you couldn't be free from sin. The law is the strength of sin, actually. So it didn't bring freedom. The law was meant to bring conviction or condemnation or to point you to Christ. That's what the law was for. So we don't want to go back under that because Christ fulfilled the law so that we can be no longer under it, but live above it through his Spirit. I think I won't really go down that road. I think we understand. So more verses about grace. Galatians 5:4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So whatever you want to put in there as far as law or whatever, I don't know your theology, but there is a danger. There is something that you can do or not do, or where you're, if you're not faith-based, you're works-based, then you can fall from grace. And we don't want to be that. We know we don't want to. That's a dangerous thing because it puts us back in my own ability. It puts me back into my own ability, not the grace and the supernatural power of God. If I'm fallen from grace, if grace truly is God's divine influence upon the heart or the ability of God working in man. Jude 1, of course, there's only one chapter, but verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept unawares who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So I understand here it's saying it. They use grace as a license to sin. You know, let us do evil or that good may come of it. Or, you know, what does Paul say? Shall we then sin? You know, God forbid. So there's a misunderstanding there of, you know, of what grace was. And it can have bad results or bad fruit. Jeremiah, there's a verse, 13:23. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then," okay, if that's possible, "then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil." But we know the first you can't. And even Jeremiah is saying you can't. You know, and for us, it's like God can, but we can't. "They that are accustomed to doing evil," to all of a sudden start doing good, not without the work of Christ, not without, and praise the Lord, He's still working, He's still moving. We know that. He's ministering to us this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let me read some verses that possibly you can turn there. We'll be there for 4 or 5 verses in Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 30. So there, here again, we're looking at some things that there's a tendency, and therefore the grace of God, it kind of squelches the grace of God. "For what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness," verse 30, "have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as if it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So for years or for a while there, I thought the stumbling block was Jesus Christ. But if you look here, it's I think what it's saying, the stumbling block is Christ for righteousness. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And you know, this is not the heathen. This is church people, and so may we not stumble. May we not do that same thing. Otherwise, you know, we're righteous because of our faith. Faith in the Jesus and the finished work of the cross. So let me go to Corinthians. There's two verses I want to read in 1 Corinthians, which also would, that does not have the word grace in it. But it talks about 1 Corinthians 17, chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." So, the cross of Christ was for death to the old. Amen? We know what that was death to the natural man, the flesh man. That was what it was for and what it did. Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." But look at what it says. "But unto us which are saved is the power of God." So that's what we want. We want the power of God. So I believe anyway, this is my testimony, that my old man, the flesh man, the selfish man, was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And that death was sufficient. I cannot improve on it in any way, shape, or form, what Christ did. And so that's where I stand. Now, my experience tomorrow may not, you might look on and say, okay, are we like Abraham, and do we believe what God's word said, or do we go by our experience and then, you know, because Abraham clearly, you know, it was faith righteous. And I tell you what, there is a change. That is where the smile of God, that is where the grace of God rests, is when you take God at his word like a child, and just believe it. So let me read it again. "For the Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words." So I could preach with wisdom of words to make the cross of no effect. So what it was meant to do wouldn't do any good. You know what I mean? That's what it's saying. So God forbid that we don't want to do that. But so if that's the truth, then it could make to where I am struggling with the old. Okay, so we're, you know, the grace is not there because I'm not believing. I'm not letting the cross do its work, but I'm trying to accomplish it. That would be working at something that Jesus did for me. Amen. So, yes, faith is the victory. Yes, but also we see this grace. We see that we have to be under the influence, under the guidance, walking in faith and grace, and then we have access to the life changing or the miracle power, you might say, of the new birth. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. Thank you, Jesus. Not sure where to start. Let's just start in the first verse. "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," this is Hebrews 12, verse 1, "let us lay aside every sin and weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross," okay, "despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it rather be healed. So we see a shepherd's heart here, a very, very compassionate heart here. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, with which no man shall see the Lord, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, now verse 15, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So it is possible to fail of the grace of God. And so it just gives us warning here. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have sought, inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I think that's self-explanatory. I had too many. So we have the words in Galatians 5:4. I'm not sure if I read it. Christ has become of no effect unto you. That's sad. I mean, we need Christ, okay? Of no effect of you whosoever are. You are justified by the law. And it says you're fallen from grace. So that is something there again that, you know, is possible, but we don't have to. We don't have to. For ye, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that hath brought that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, man, we tasted a little bit this morning, the blessings, the peace, when we say yes, and just to the Comforter comforting us that everything's going to be okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The doubter will come, but the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with us. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, he says, therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's a positive. That's a good. That's what we want to do. There's some of these verses bring out the negative part that can happen, but there's also lots of positive. I mean, most things are grace is good. I mean, it's all good. Where does Paul say? There's a verse there. It says, "Not I, but Christ works in me." I had it written down. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So that's what we're wanting and doing to be edified, so we can see, to read Scripture so we're aware of our foundation, how firm a foundation, a rock that cannot be moved. Hallelujah. In ending here, I want to read just a verse that was blessing me. 2 Peter says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Amen. Standing on the truth, having faith, and then the grace of God can be alive and working in our life to where temptation doesn't have its power. You know, the enemy can come, but if it's lost its power, the Bible says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You know, you cannot tempt something that's dead. That's my, I always come around, as I'm like a hobby horse. I just, the gospel, you know, what Jesus did and the miracle of it. Because for years I strived and there was no joy. You know, there's no joy, no peace when it's all working. And it's failure too, but you're all working. And so my heart is for everyone to, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is peace, joy, love. And for that, like we had this morning, praise the Lord. I thank Quarter for opening his scripture, was right in tune. Then the songs were there, and I'm just blown away at the body life. You know, it softens us, and we have love for one another. And that's what's blessed me this morning, really, really a lot. And I'm just thankful to be here. Hopefully, some of these scriptures we're able to encourage.